Karen Swan, you are amazing.
I'm a magician.
You are. Or a sorcerer.
It's food sorcery, I tell you. Although hearing that final song, I'm not sure with this mystery ingredient, it might turn out to be bum food.
Do you reckon it's going to be good on fibre?
I haven't tasted it yet, so it might taste like it.
So, the big question is, which came first here? Because the egg is, to me, such an essential ingredient in so much baking.
It is, and it seems impossible that anything could really replace what an egg does. So eggs, I guess, are for thickening, they're for helping things rise, they're for moisture, they give a lot of texture. So I would not have even thought about replacing an egg with anything, except obviously devising recipes for Mama Bake. We've got a community and there's allergies, a lot of allergies everywhere, not only dairy, gluten, egg, so everything. So we have to be quite adaptable. And I've been amazed actually at how well a lot of these substitutes work.
So talk us through the substitutes, because on the Mama Bake website, you've done a great list of egg equivalents.
Yeah.
And that's what I've used. I've gone by an egg equivalent for my cake.
Which one did you use?
I used the chia seed.
Yeah, I've had good success with chia. It works quite well. It goes like jelly.
Like a frog spawn.
It does look like frog spawn.
Doesn't it?
It does.
It looks like a sort of, it's a very slippery seed when you put it in.
It is, but it gives that nice moisture. And particularly in gluten-free baking, I've found that the things like the chia egg substitutes, the mashed banana egg substitutes, the flax, again, which just gets turned into a gel.
What's that? Flax is...
I don't even know what it is.
Is that linseed?
It's fluffy.
Oh, is it?
Oh, no, that's the psyllium. Sorry, I'm mistaken. Psyllium husks in water. But they give that same binding and moisture into gluten-free baking, which quite often can be really dry. So I throw in an extra egg yolk a lot in gluten-free baking. So with these, I'm adding banana perhaps instead.
What about the vinegar? I've seen vegan recipes with vinegar and bicarb. There's other things that can, on the list of replaces. There's a chickpea.
Soy powder. Chickpea, flour, anything that you can sort of mush up and make into that moist gel kind of consistency tends to work quite well.
But this, herein lies the sorcery of what you've made of a pavlova, because a pavlova is just eggs and sugar.
Well, and it's egg whites. So that's the tricky part. I think replacing a whole egg, not so hard, but the thought of an egg white, and quite frankly, really, I've read about this, I've seen it. I mean, it nearly broke the internet when this fad hit. This is aquafaba, no less.
Aquafaba. He sounds like a fabulous Italian actor.
This is my aquafaba. It's chickpea liquid that you would normally throw down the drain when you drain your chickpeas.
Uh-huh. The tin of chickpeas. That thick, watery,
very
liquid.
Thick, kind of almost slimy
it is
liquid.
Slimy.
And it does have a distinct aroma, shall we say, to it. And I was concerned, I have to say, this was my first attempt at an egg-free meringue. Now, my oven is rubbish, so it needed a bit more cooking. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. It looks pretty impressive. So you are just whisking this aquafaba, the chickpea juice. It goes bubbly. I added some cream of tartar and then sugar. And you whisk and whisk and whisk and whisk, and it goes beautiful and glossy and white and forms soft peaks just the way a normal meringue does.
Really?
It really does.
So with when you're doing normal egg white, you put your egg white in there first and normally beat that up into a frenzy first and slowly add the sugar.
Yeah. So I did the same thing. So I started off, I used all the same technique, so a dry bowl, metal bowl, no oil traces in there, really dry. Chill the aquafaba first. It tends to beat a little bit better that way. And then just, away you go.
How much aquafaba?
So about a cup. So I think I used about 170 mils for this much. So 30 mils of aquafaba equals about one egg white. So this was the juice from one tin and a little bit more. So I had some leftovers, which is why I thought, well, I'll just make the mousse.
While I'm here.
Well, because vegan chocolate mousse is always avocado, generally. And I've made that quite often with great success. It's tasty. But this, because it's beaten and it whipped and it has so much air in it, it's quite fluffy. It's maybe a little bit more liquid than a normal mousse. Again, these are my first attempts, so I'm curious to go back and try them again. But it's airy. The mousse is quite airy.
Okay, we need to get and taste it.
I haven't tasted it yet.
Haven't you?
No.
Okay, I'm going to play this little music underneath it. You know this song? This is like Devo.
Oh, nice. Whip it
good.
Bit
whip it. And you have to.
You do have to.
How many minutes did you have to wait?
Well, so that took, if you had a fancy blender, it would probably, or stand mixer, it would take about 5 minutes. I did it by hand with an electric beater, so 8 to 10 minutes.
You are committed.
2 hours in the oven and then another hour to dry out. So just like a real meringue.
Okay. Okay. Let's get it.
All right.
Now,
I think you're just going to need to break a bit off of the crunchy bit. My goal was I was going to whip up a whole bunch of coconut cream to put on there, but that time got away from me.
Can you
whip
coconut cream as well?
Coconut cream. So to turn it into vegan whipped cream, you put a tin of coconut cream in the fridge. The top of it goes all nice and hard and creamy. You take that part off and same concept. Just whip it, add your icing sugar, spectacular vegan whipped cream.
Really?
Mm.
This looks magnificent. It looks exactly like you would imagine a pavlova to look, with the little crackles all through the top, fresh raspberries, fresh blueberries, a dusting of icing sugar. Everything about that looks like food.
You have to do a
porn.
Dusting of icing sugar, a bit of flair.
A bit of flair. Now, I'm going to
try the crunchy bit on the
outside.
Okay,
okay. Here we go. Oh, I just got a sense of the delicious chewiness. You know how okay. I can't crack it because it's not cracking, but it's that nice chewiness.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to hand it over to you too, Karen.
Oh,
here.
Goodness.
Can
me.
I hand you over a
yeah,
piece of this?
Yeah, pass me a piece.
Okay, we're trying.
I think had it been able to cook a little bit longer, it probably wouldn't have been quite as smushy as it is in the middle, but I have a rubbish oven, so.
Okay.
No. Oh, it's really rubbery and nice. Hang on.
It's got that lovely chewiness. Okay, here we go.
Doesn't smell like chickpea.
It does not smell like chickpeas.
Oh,
because
really?
If anyone's just tuned in, we are eating a pavlova made pretty much entirely from chickpea juice,
yep.
Aquafaba. That's a marketing ploy, isn't it? Which came first, the chickpea or the egg?
Ding dong. Let's go.
Okay, here we go. Oh.
Oh, my goodness.
It's good.
That's a meringue.
It really is a meringue.
That's a meringue.
It's got that little crunch that you go through.
I'm in shock. Oh, it's a bit, hang on. It's a bit tart.
No, I like that. Because the pavlova actually is my least favourite pudding in the world.
Is it really? See, I'm a pavlova aficionado. That would be my last meal on earth. Well, first I'd have a really thick steak, cooked very rare, smothered in butter and garlic, and then I would have pavlova.
Vegan discussions with a...
Well, see, I'm no vegan. My husband is a vegan. I'm not vegan. It's interesting in my house.
That is really good. Now, I think the tartness is fabulous. What does it? Where's the tartness come from?
It must just be a byproduct of the juice. I don't know, maybe the starches or something in the chickpea.
How much sugar in that for you?
That's half a cup.
Well, that's not much.
Which is not much when you think about how much you normally put in a pavlova.
Mm. No vinegar?
No vinegar, no nothing else. Oh, some cream of tartar is in there.
But that...
You know.
Okay, people. This is...
It's interesting. It's a bit Moorish, isn't it?
Mm. Ah. It's got a really nice texture. It's got that nice crunchiness.
And it melts like a meringue melts.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this... Oh, it's hard to talk when you have meringue in your mouth. I think this would be a really good base. So you could use it for pavlova or you could imagine little macarons or little whatever. Put it in a piping bag and make little bickies.
Now, what's interesting though, Karen.
Don't try and take it off the paper.
It's stuck to the paper. But I reckon that's going to be, you know, that crust on the bottom of things. And I know there's words for that in every culture. The paella, for example, has that magnificent crust at the bottom of a paella pan that people... You know, go wild for. I think that's what the crust at the bottom of this pavlova is.
I think so. And it could also just be, so you know, pavlovas quite often are a bit weepy anyway. You know, they do release a little bit of liquid when they cook. So I think maybe that's a little bit of that. And also it just needed a little bit longer to dry out.
Yeah, in the oven.
In the oven.
This is a magnificent first attempt for your
aquafaba thrilled.
Egg replacement
try
pavlova.
The mousse. Try some mousse.
Try the mousse.
Have a sugar high, Lish. It's early.
Okay. Okay, here I'm back. Now, the mousse is a little tiny pot. It wouldn't look out of place on a fancy dinner table. The raspberry. And, it's really light
so
as
that's,
well.
It's proper. It's okay, you keep it there. It's proper mousse.
Yeah, it really is. Really, because often the mousse is so thick.
Too thick.
And rich.
Too rich.
Look at us. Too thick. Too rich.
I know. Not opinionated at all.
No, here we go.
It's all right, isn't it?
That is magnificent.
And that's got, so the sweetener in that is coconut nectar.
That is magnificent. Because I was expecting everything to taste like hummus.
Yes.
This
is my hummus flavoured pavlova.
Yeah.
I could, instead of whipped cream, we could spread hummus and pistachio and sprinkle some olive oil over the top for our beautiful.
I thought it was going to be absolutely disgusting and I'd be having to backpedal. That is magnificent. It's very light.
Isn't it
very
good?
Chocolatey. What chocolate have you used in that? Because
that's just plain old chocolate. So technically, I'm glad you're not proper vegan, because that's not proper vegan chocolate.
Well, isn't it?
But if you're going to, it's all I had. If you were going to make it vegan, you would just use vegan chocolate, so dairy-free chocolate.
What's wrong with dark chocolate?
Dark chocolate's fine. Okay. Dark chocolate's fine, but that's a mix. Got some milk chocolate in there as well.
Very light, very fluffy, and no sugar, you say?
Coconut nectar, equivalent coconut syrup. You could use agave or maple syrup or sugar, honey, whatever you wanted. You know, and the other thing with aquafaba, just thinking about eggs and egg replacement and egg whites, not only sweet foods, you can use that for mayonnaise, aioli, all sorts of savoury things as well.
Really?
It's an all-rounder.
Is it really?
Mm.
So a mayonnaise is traditionally egg-based.
That's right.
With an emulsion.
Yeah, same thing.
You could use the aquafaba.
Yeah, my husband makes an aioli with aquafaba. Mm.
Wow.
And just drizzled it in with the olive oil.
No, it works the same.
Yeah.
That is so
amazing, isn't it? Chickpeas.
When did this come about? When did we discover this?
I've been aware in the internet land of aquafaba for a while, but I've never tried it because I was always mashing bananas and other things. But it's been around for a while. I think it's a bit too out there, though. People will mash a banana and put it in something, but an egg white replacement,
And you can buy egg white replacement from shops, can't you? Egg replacement.
I think so,
things.
Yeah.
Okay, I've made my mother's classic cake recipe.
Nice.
So I wanted to try and just see if other things work. You can't eat this because it's got gluten in it. But I just took her standard recipe with two eggs, replaced the two eggs.
Good.
Two tablespoons of chia seeds soaked in, 6 tablespoons of water, because it's 1 tablespoon of chia seeds, so 3 tablespoons of water for 1 egg. And looking at it here, I've just made them into little muffins. It looks as light as the
looks
cake.
Looks great.
I'm just going to hand you over.
Here, let me have a feel.
It looks as light as it should.
Yeah.
The chia seeds I've treated like poppy seed. So it's got the poppy seed.
It smells amazing.
And it's perfect.
Yeah.
A revelation today, Karen.
It's amazing, isn't it? Mm. And you know, you're using with the chickpea liquid of the aquafaba, potentially what is a waste product, really, that you would just be throwing down the sink. So
protein? Is it protein?
It would be, yes, yes. And then you've got your chickpeas, which you can then turn into chickpea almond blondies. I've made blondies using mushed up chickpeas. Okay.